You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
In the 26th century, mankind faces an epic struggle for survival. The forces of nature have spun wildly out of control.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watched Cadillacs and Dinosaurs with my friend Emma Hislop. Emma uses she, her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm here if you need to talk.
In this savage land, one man stands alone, Jack Tenrack, defending humanity in a world gone mad, a world where only the strong survive, a world of Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Ugh, I've got like this bad case of like pre-show jitters, and I get that a lot lately, and I don't know what that is really or how to get over it.
I've always had stage fright, or like a healthy amount of like, oh God, what could happen kind of thing.
And it's not even that anymore. Now it's just like weirding performance anxiety that has nothing to do with the outcome of the show. Because like, I know that barring me getting a guest that's not very good, like the show's going to turn out great. Like I've been doing it for 5 years. I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm funny. It's more like I'm about to start and I'm like, what if I forget how to talk? Like, what if I forget how to exist as a person and I melt into a puddle on the floor? Like, that could happen. But lately, it's been more about like trying to get my voice right, I guess, because I've been doing a lot of voice training stuff. And like, especially on the show, I sound a lot more masculine than I do in my day-to-day life, which is strange.
I think, and I mean, I'm not like an expert, obviously, but like from experience, it definitely has to do with when you practice something, you get that thing into you with the current environment. And I'm sorry because I don't really have any tips because it just like fixed itself over time.
Right. Yeah, that's sort of the thing, is it seems like something that's going to figure itself out with time. Right now, what seems to be the issue is that like I start off the show and I sound pretty good, like what I want to sound like for the most part. And then as the show goes on, I just kind of like slip into like another voice because I forget how to like do it. And I'm having so much fun that I like am not in my own head anymore. And that sucks, that like if I'm having fun and laughing, then I forget how to talk the way I want to talk. If I'm having a conversation with somebody that I'm very close to, and then in the middle of the conversation, I realize that my voice has dropped to my old pre-transition voice, it's hard to bump back into it unless I acknowledge it and tell the person, okay, right now I'm going to start talking more femininely because I'm supposed to be doing that and I forgot.
I kind of get the same thing. Like I don't drop all the way back into my, like this is my guy register. This is how I would talk as a guy.
Right.
So like I don't all the way... Don't make it all the way back down, but...
Yeah, I mean, people can listen to old episodes of this podcast and hear how I used to sound it. It wasn't great for me in particular, but that's fine. Let's talk about Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. I feel like I'm ready for this now.
The big question that I had the entire series was just, why are there dinosaurs the entire time? I'm like,
well, Emma,
how did we get dinosaurs here?
The thing is it's the future. The year is 2516. So of course there's dinosaurs. It's the future.
Obviously.
They're just waiting for their time to come back.
You know what? That's probably what's happening right now. Like, they're in a cave somewhere.
Plotting.
They've got, like, this secret underground society, and they're just waiting for the 2500s.
Yeah, the show just sort of leaves it up to you, the viewer, to sort of figure out how this happened. And it's like, I guess that maybe all of the supplementary materials, the video games, the comic books,
yeah,
all of the fan fiction or whatever online would sort of explain how this happens. But it's like, would the show really have been all that much better if there was one first episode that was like, here's how the dinosaurs came back?
That's valid.
Yeah, I've seen Jurassic Park. I know how this happens.
Right, but at least with Jurassic Park, you get the exposition of, oh, we're doing scientific experiments on it. Like, there's some sort of lean into it other than just like, well, we're post-apocalyptic now and dinosaurs, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe this is like in the future in the We're Back universe.
Oh.
The Steven Spielberg animated film.
Yeah. When was this released? This was in 94. So
yeah, 93, Jurassic, 94, yeah.
Jurassic Park would have been out by then, right?
No, this predated Jurassic Park. I did not think about that. Yeah, this was right before
serious?
Jurassic Park, because Jurassic Park came out in 1993.
Three.
That is a good point. I just assumed that it was after Jurassic Park, but that came out June 11th, 1993. So like maybe
okay,
they were...
So there is 2 months difference. So the first episode for Cadillacs and Dinosaurs was September 18th, 93.
Honestly... should have been the title of Jurassic Park, by the way. Like, Steven Spielberg's Cadillacs and
Seriously.
Dinosaurs would have been sick.
Seriously, I would watch that. I would watch that. To be clear, my question as to why are there dinosaurs, why is it post-apocalyptic, mm-hmm. has no measure on how much I enjoyed this series, because this was just so, like, it was just batshit, and I'm like, I love it. I am going to watch the rest of it, for sure.
It was really crazy. I guess... it was definitely a crazy idea, because the whole show has like a very environmental message, and yet they ride around in gas guzzling Cadillacs the entire time,
yeah.
and fight dinosaurs and stuff. But I guess that I expected from the title of the show for it not to feel as grounded, because somehow watching
yeah.
it, I was like, this all makes too much sense. Like, there's nothing crazy going on here.
Yeah. Like, as illogical as some of it is, once you, like, buy into the universe, mm-hmm. it all kind of makes sense.
So the concept for Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, for anybody that hasn't seen it, it is on YouTube, all 13 episodes, and it's pretty worth watching. I would recommend going to check this one out. Basically, it's based off of an arcade game, so you know that, like, they're pretty much just buying into the batshit craziness of it all. The year is 2516. There are like tiny little mega cities, but not really. Like, it's not like Judge Dredd style. They're just like tiny tribes for the most part. There's dinosaurs run amok, and everybody in the main cast has a Cadillac. But they also care very much about the environment. And I guess that's my question about the main character in this show, Jack Tenrack.
Oh, God.
Jack Tenrack and Hannah Dundee. Those are our two leads. Great names.
Yeah.
Jack is a little scary. He hates scientists, hates politicians. At one point, he like turns on the radio in his car and he's like, I don't like this station. And he like kicks it with his boot and breaks his car. He just sort of rage quits every situation. But he's also a very caring environmentalist.
Yeah.
Who really cares about animals. And I'm like, what are we supposed to be understanding about this man? He's just an action hero.
He's literally just, they wanted to launch a toy line off of him, I guess. And they just had to make a generic action hero.
He's actually a lot like Owen from Jurassic World, if you think about it. Like, salt of the earth guy, loves a good beer, loves breaking things when he's mad, kind of an asshole to women.
Yeah, all of those things.
And he's good. All of the voice performances in the show, especially his, are pretty off the wall. He just kind of goes around and talks like this the entire time. I'm Jack Tenrack, and guess what? I'm going to stop you. And it's like, wow, Jack. Okay, but...
Yeah, yeah. The one expletive remark that I heard all the time was like, wahoon. And I'm like, why do you feel like you need to, A, include swearing in a kid's show? And B, like, I don't know. Like, it just, like, why don't you just go with...
Shit.
Oh, darn. Oh, crap.
Okay, you know? Well, because it's the year 2516. Like, of course they've invented clearly new swear words. They don't even call the dinosaurs dinosaurs. Because in another episode that I watched, there's a man from the past who comes back, is, like, taken out of cryosleep, and they're like, those things that you used to call dinosaurs, now we call them Easy Glide or something like that. Like, it's something stupid.
What?
Yeah, they're like, we don't call them dinosaurs anymore. I'm like, I swear to God you've called them dinosaurs before.
Wait, so like they explain in show that they don't call them dinosaurs even though they know what dinosaur means. So like they're just choosing to ignore all pretext of like existing social constructs and language.
Right.
To yeah. make up their own shit.
Yeah, because they're like that's from the ancients, you know, like that's what they call the people from before the fall of society. It's very much like a Mad Max world plus dinosaurs, which is what Mad Max needs.
I would be like first in line for a Mad Max feature with dinosaurs. So it's not even just like they call like dinosaurs as like a species something different. Like each dinosaur has their own unique name.
Right,
that
exactly.
I guess they wanted the kids to pick up on and like, oh, this is my like wind rider. Meanwhile,
right.
It's just like a pterodactyl or whatever. I don't know.
Right. And as that was happening, all of the henchmen would be like, oh man, check out that load of Zeke's over there, and point to a bunch of pterodactyls. And I'd be like,
yeah.
Okay, so do I not know something about dinosaurs? Because I'll be the first to admit, I don't know a whole lot about dinosaurs. Like I've seen Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. I didn't even know that much about dinosaurs when I was a kid, and I've lost all that information now. So maybe Zeke's are a type of pterodactyl, and the show knows more about dinosaurs than me. I'm willing to admit that. But it sort of seems like they don't. They had an opportunity to educate the kids of America, and they didn't do it.
And they didn't do it, yeah.
That's so cruel. So we have Jack Tenrack. We got Hannah Dundee, and Hannah is like an ambassador ?/scientist. There's not really all that much about her.
And also just like tag along for the main protagonist.
That's
like,
true. They have sort of a contentious relationship and they just need to fucking get it over with, to be honest.
Yeah, right? I'm like, just get a room. 20 minutes. That'll solve all your problems.
Well, I don't know about all your problems, but it will for sure release some sexual tension that's very latent.
100%.
Hannah is boring. She doesn't really do all that much. Like, I was watching an episode of the show where she, like, falls in love with a robot. That was pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have robots, too.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a little bit. We've got Jack, we've got Hannah, we've got all Jack's friends. Boring, who cares? The villain of the show is who I really want to talk about. She's the real star of the show here. The mayor of the town, or the governor, whatever they call her, Shorehorst?
Yeah, Governor Wilhelmina Scharnhorst.
Governor
Corrupt,
Wilhelmina...
power-hungry and uncaring.
Scharnhorst. The classic butch lesbian stereotype.
Yeah.
She's incredible. She's just like a bodybuilder. Like, she's so, like, big and evil. She hates the environment. She is constantly trying to develop, like, death lasers.
Yeah.
She is Jack Tenrack's arch nemesis, and most episodes do end with them screaming at each other and then running away. But then in the next episode she's like, hey Jack, you want to work with me on something else? And he's like, oh yeah, sure, that sounds pretty good. Like,
yeah, they have like a lot of like short-term memory issues. They like fight and then they leave and then they forget that the other person exists, so that by the time the next episode starts they can be like somewhat friendly again. It's,
yeah.
I love it.
It's strange because I guess that like Jack is supposed to be like sort of a lone wolf, but everybody in the city really respects him because he's so cool and badass. And Scharnhorst is like a dictator trying to develop like death rays so she can kill all the bandits roaming around, including Jack, and like constantly has just outward contempt for Mother Earth on which we live. Like, does not yes. want the planet to exist.
Yep.
Is constantly calling Jack like a
tree hugger. In,
yeah. Yeah. Like
in
his
whatever.
Hoaxy
yeah.
climate change shenanigans. I'm sort of shocked in the world of the show that the Earth still exists in 2516.
Right? Like we didn't completely blow it up? Okay. I found it hard to suspend my disbelief there.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Earth 2. Like, maybe they somehow made it to another...
Oh, that would explain why, like, New York and, like, fucking the Grand Canyon were, like, 2 feet from each other. Like, at the beginning of one of the episodes, like, they're at New York, or, like, what used to be New York. And then the next episode, they're, like, set by the backdrop of the Grand Canyon. I'm like, okay.
It's the Grand Canyon, too. It's just outside of...
It's the Grand Canyon, too. Exactly.
Schenectady. Schenectady. I never know because the name of that movie is Schenectady, New York, and then it's Schenectady.
Oh, no. Wait, so, like, what would Jersey be in this, like, post-apocalyptic world?
Jersey is affluent. New Jersey is like there's no apocalypse there at all, and everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. Like, society continued on as it, like, has for, like, the last 10,000 years.
Right. This is really only what New York looks like, like, with the dinosaurs and everything. And everybody there is like, hey, I'm a New Yorker. I can't leave. This is my home.
And this is what happens when you don't observe proper social distancing.
God, that joke's going to be so dated so fast. Like, a week after this episode
I'm so
comes
sorry,
out.
Mia. You're going to have to edit that out for, like, anything post, like, initial release.
Oh, my God.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
God. This show does some weird shit with aspect ratio changes.
Oh, God. I was so thrown off by that at first. I'm like, wait, why are we now letterboxing to... Wait, what? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, letterboxing to a commercial break. Or, like, the last 2 minutes of an episode will be letterboxed. Or, like, the first 2 minutes. And I'm like, this isn't Samurai Jack, motherfucker. Like, you're not doing this for any stylistic reasons. You're just doing it because it looks... I don't know.
Like, it's like, oh, and we're ending the scene. Have a commercial, kids, and we're back. Or, like...
That's a really great point, though, that it would have broadcasted when it was going to commercial break. So maybe it was, like, to tell kids, like, hey, kids, we're going to commercial. You better get up and get ready to go get some more cereal.
Maybe. You know what? That's not a bad hypothesis there.
That's it. There's not much to talk about with the aspect ratio thing. It was just stupid and a little bit pointless.
It was just something that, like, yeah...
And I guess that it would have been a nice stylistic choice if it felt like it was at all intentional or interesting to do.
Or interesting, or like carried any kind of like substantial like meaning with regards to like the animation as a storytelling device, but it was just there.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if they had done it like during fight scenes or something like that and done like a Samurai Jack thing, changed it up a lot.
Exactly.
That could have been
That's
really
what
cool.
I was thinking.
But whatever. They did what they did. It's Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. They didn't give a shit.
I have a potentially like hot take. Governor Scharnhorst is actually a really good villain because her schemes are like way too overcomplicated. And
it's
then
true.
Like the hero just completely like overcomplicates the response to the schemes.
Yeah.
So I think that's something like they did really well here. Like especially for like a Saturday morning cartoon where it's just like we need camp in everything.
That's true. I mean, it's a good villain archetype because we have everybody in the world trust this woman, despite the fact that she's constantly trying to blow the world up.
Exactly.
Like, she's got, like, a Lex Luthor thing going on, where, like, somehow she's the mayor of the city, and everybody's like, we trust you indefinitely. And then she's like, hey, we're gonna, like, starve our people so that we can, drive the dinosaurs out. And everybody's like, okay, cool, sounds good. And then Jack has to be like, wait a minute, we don't want to starve everybody. And then in the next episode, everybody forgets that she did that in the first place.
The singular solo voice of reason, Jack Tenrick.
That's true. And then everybody is constantly like, he's a wild card. He's so crazy. He loves the environment. And it's like, well, dial it back a little bit, buddy. Like, maybe we should all care a little bit about the environment. It's a post-apocalyptic wasteland out there.
Right? Like, we have, like, two resources left, and they are food and dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's true. One really interesting thing about this series, or maybe not, who cares, is it was created and written by the writer of Die Hard, Die Hard 2, and Judge Dredd, the Sylvester Stallone film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as well as others.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Made a lot of crazy movies, this guy. Steven DeSouza.
Steven DeSouza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-wrote Die Hard.
Judge Dredd. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
I have a little bit more respect for this now.
You think the show is retroactively better because of that?
Yeah, like once you get that big name on the not that I recognize the name.
Right.
On the like headline.
Maybe like his co-writer on all of those movies was the one who held him back and grounded all of those movies in reality. Like if it was just Steven D'Souza writing Die Hard, he would have like time traveled.
It would have been dinosaurs.
Yeah, it would have been
Dinosaur Hard.
Dinosaur Hard. That's a good movie though. Sneaking around in a building with a bunch of dinosaurs trying to save his wife. It would have been very Jurassic Park.
Oh, God. That would have been such a good Christmas film.
But yes, it would be great if it was exactly the same movie. Like Hard R, you know, walks on the glass.
The same. Still. Exactly.
Yeah, all that stuff. Takes out raptors one at a time. Classic film. Dinosaur Hard.
Classic.
Let's see. So we didn't actually watch all of the same episodes. Of all the episodes that you watched, which one was your favorite?
Okay, so the two other episodes that I watched one and two, obviously to get my foot in the door of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched five and six because I read the descriptions on the Wikipedia page. And I'm like, lizard people? Yes, please.
Oh.
I want more of this.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it, really. Like, I watched, like, 1, 2, 3, and then I was like, oh, an episode with a robot? Okay. Now we're talking.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, again, like Hannah Dundee, the lizard people are just kind of, like, there as accessories.
So are these, like, sentient lizard people? Or not sentient, but, like, do they have higher learning? Higher learning, like they go to fucking college.
They went to college.
Yeah.
They graduated summa cum laude. They exist as, like, sentient beings. They have, like, a social structure, like a social order. They exist in, like, tribes, like everybody else in this universe.
Okay, sure. Do they seem as though they were lizards first and evolved into human-ish creatures, or do they seem like they were humans and then got turned into lizards, like... Street
I
sharks.
Honestly couldn't tell you. I think my gut instinct is I want to say, like, they're lizards and, like, they evolved to be people. So clearly there's, like, centuries of crossbreeding, you know.
People fucking lizards. Or we had lizard people before, and then they went where the dinosaurs went, and then they came back up when humanity destroyed itself.
Oh, even better. You know what? I like this. Because then that lends credence to every fucking conspiracy theory that exists today.
So the lizard people are involved in the plot in what way? Like, everybody wants to kill them, or they...
They sort of act as plot points.
Okay.
And then, like, this kid, this random, like, wild child kid is riding a dinosaur at the beginning of episode 5. Hannah honks the horn of the car, causing him to fall off the dinosaur and get trampled. So she's like, oh my God, he's hurt. And then she, like, sets off on this journey to, like, find him after he gets hurt.
Yeah, that's sort of the entirety of Hannah Dundee's character, isn't it? Is that she's always, like, falling in love with some strange man they just met, or trying to mother some strange child they just met.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, the writers didn't know what women are like, so they wrote you this way. I understand.
Yeah.
They've heard of them, for sure.
Women? Women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did watch that episode, too, and that was just, like, sort of ridiculous how she's like, okay, wild child, whatever.
Yeah.
Because in the episode with the android, basically, they bring him out of hypersleep. Like, they find him in cryosleep or something like that. And she immediately falls in love with him, then realizes that he's an android halfway through the episode. And she seems to regret having loved him in the first place. Like, she has a very ominous line where she's like, man, when I make a mistake, I really do it in a big way. And I'm like, Hannah Dundee, did you fuck the robot? Like,
also, like, that's a little bit, like, racist. Like, we're teaching kids to be racist here. Just because it's an android, her relationship was, like, made null and void. Like
well,
this is calling back to, like 1950s.
Well, when you realize that it's a robot, you start to realize that it really doesn't have any human emotions and is not a convincing human at all. Like, I knew going in that it was a robot, but, like, the entirety of her conversations with the robot is she's like, hey, what's the weather out like today? And he's like, it's 57 degrees Celsius with 32% humidity. Better bring a jacket or something like that. And she's like, wow, I'm in love with you. Like,
can I confide in you something here? Like, mm-hmm. I really love it when women talk to me like that, just, like, completely cold and, like, robotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really gets me going.
Yeah, all of your conversations with, like, partners are just like, hey, what time is it? It is
1947,
right?
And 30 seconds.
31 seconds. 32 seconds. They start counting it.
Yeah. Okay, so Hannah Dundee makes a bunch of really questionable choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really all her character is questionable choice. I mean, she hangs out with Jack, and that in itself is a very questionable choice. Like, he is not a great dude. I mean, he loves the environment, he loves animals, but he seems to generally detest women, science, everything that's not a car or a dinosaur.
Yep.
We didn't really talk about how the cars play into... We talked about the dinosaurs. We didn't talk about how the Cadillacs play into the whole thing. The main thing of the show is that every episode finds a way to shoehorn in a Cadillac. In, like, they'll need to be, like, herd a bunch of dinosaurs. And they're like, well, we'll herd them with the car. We'll chase after them and honk the horn. So that's good.
Yeah, okay, so one of the things... So their design is, like, very, like, 80s Cadillac. They operate like this, like, magical all-terrain vehicle because they're able to drive through, like, jungle spaces and, like, traverse the jungle.
It's true. They drive it into a river at one point and they're just, like, driving down the river.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, they've had, like, major technical improvements that they can have, like, this kind of body. And, like, it's just, like, nice. So when are we seeing, when do we get there? Like, does that happen in 2020?
That's
true. Does that happen in, like, 2100? Or, like, do we have to wait until 25 to the 2500s to get cars that drive like that.
I mean, the show seems to have a very skewed perspective on what we'll be capable of doing at any point in time, because the android, the fully functioning human passing android that they bring out of cryosleep, was put in cryosleep in the year 2027. I don't think 7 years from now we'll have the capacity to make androids like that.
So it kind of suffers from like the Back to the Future prediction kind of problem, where we did not have self-lacing shoes. We did not have hoverboards.
Wait, you didn't get a hoverboard? Oh, they definitely have them.
You know what? It's because we're too like state controlled here. Like everything is provided for by the government. They just didn't deem hoverboards necessary for us, I guess.
That's true. Yeah, you got to come to America so you can get a hoverboard. You know, I want that thing that George McFly has in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Too, where he's like floating around upside down, so you can't tell that they're reusing behind the scenes footage from the first movie. That'd be pretty sweet.
Oh, that's so good.
Let's see. What else do I have here? Anything else about this fucking show? Not really. A lot of these episodes, I would watch the entire thing and have like one joke. Like, there's a lot of episodes of the show where you can go through the entire thing and not really take anything away from it.
Yeah.
It's just very easy, take a nap while you're watching it kind of show. I guess that I expected it to be a little bit more crazy. Like another one that I found when I was doing research for the show, I sent you a link to Dino Saucers, which is like pretty much the same show except with no Cadillacs and talking dinosaurs. And that seems like that would have been a home run in comparison.
So like one of the things that I noticed during all of the action sequences, like the animation just felt so slow. Like I scrolled through each frame using YouTube, and like it is animated on the twos for the most part. So I'm like, how does this feel so slow? Like it shouldn't feel this slow. Like it felt like it was animating on like the fives.
Yeah, it sort of moves at a snail's pace, but the animation itself doesn't look terrible necessarily. Like it looks like there was some money behind it.
The animation doesn't look terrible, but I just don't know how it felt so slow despite like the animation style, and I just don't get it.
I think it's just a bad cartoon, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not very good, and nobody really cared all that much about it, and so they didn't really put all that much work into it. Like, it feels like it was copy-pasted episodes taken from another show, and then they added in dinosaurs and Cadillacs.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that I didn't notice any, like, reused animations outside from, like, the cars. Like, I didn't notice. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention hard enough, but like it didn't seem like they had reused like slates or anything.
Yeah, I feel like 90% of the animation here could have been taken directly from Dino Riders.
Valid. Okay. I didn't watch that, and you did for the podcast.
Yeah, Dino Riders was really something.
Okay, valid. So maybe they did reuse animation, just not from this show.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Maybe. Well, that's Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. Well, thanks for joining me on this episode, Emma. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find your podcast?
Yeah, so people can find me on Twitter at Nocturne Musings. So that's my personal Twitter. I also produce a podcast called Unsound Theories. Basically, I make my fiance and our really close friend watch movies without sound, and then they have to try and figure out the plot. And it's just, it's never good, and it's frequently erotic.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
CBS Saturday.
What the devil is that?
Starting Saturday, September 18th, it's the all-new Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.